We live in a crazy world, and you're part of it. You know, sometimes it's fun to be around somebody that's just a little crazy. Maybe a little crazier than you are. You've ever have a friend like that? Keeps you on your toes, doesn't it? Well, we live in a world full of opposites. We have hot, we have cold. I was talking to a friend the other day who's in Florida, and it's 88 degrees. It was last week on one of those days where it was, you know, 10, 15 below zero here. And, of course, this friend was quick to remind me of the great temperature differences between there and here. But I said, are you inside? Yeah. I said, what's the temperature? Well, 70 degrees. I said, I'm inside. 69 degrees. I got you beat by a degree. Hey. But we live in a world of opposites. It's hot, it's cold, it's hard, it's soft, it's smooth, it's rough. It's light, it's dark. Where you have winners, there has to be a... If you have winners, you have to have a loser. All right? Sweet, and there's sour. And if you go to a Chinese restaurant, it's amazing you can get both in one. Isn't that something? Don't we live in a good world? You can have sweet and sour, all in one. A man was asked, "What are the opposites of ugly, curved, and reverse?" I want you to think about that for just a second. What are the opposites of ugly, curved, and reverse? His answer was pretty straightforward. Are you awake? Okay. I thought that was pretty good. Well, finally got it, huh? Okay. All right. At least you're awake. At least you're awake. Well, in God's realm, we also deal with opposites. If there is a heaven, then there must be a hell. Anybody ever say, what is it, H-E double hockey stick or something like that? I thought about going to Goodwill and trying to find some hockey sticks and spelling that out for you and see if you could figure it out. But we're going to talk about hell today. We're going to talk about hell. If heaven is real, and we believe it is, you believe heaven is real. I want to see your hand in the air. Everybody raise your hand. Okay. So if we live in a world of opposites and heaven is real, then there has to be a hell. If there was no heaven or no hell, we wouldn't even have, it would just be whatever. It would just be probably anarchy. But anyway, the Bible teaches that there's a heaven, and because there is a heaven, then there must be a hell. So today we're going to talk about the reality of hell. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 20. That's the last book of the New Testament. Revelation chapter 20. I'll begin reading with the 11th verse, and we'll just read down through the end of that chapter. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Verse 15. If anyone's name is not found written in the book of life, he is thrown into the lake of fire. describing hell. So hell is a real place. And the Bible, many, many different passages of Scripture, tell us that hell is a real place. Talking about hell isn't a very popular piece of conversation. It's used as an adjective in many conversations. But if you really want to speak about the reality of hell, I would dare say that it would be difficult to engage somebody in a very deep, meaningful conversation about the reality of hell. It's just not something that we like to talk about. Several years ago on the church sign, I put a little saying, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember the word hell was in the sign, was in the verbiage on the sign. It's the only time I've ever received a negative phone call for what was on the sign. And a woman was very upset that I had put the word hell on our church sign. And the word hell was used as, you know, be obedient to the Ten Commandments, I think, something like that. If you don't, well, that's okay, but then hell is your destination. Something like that. It was very sharp. I will have to confess that. But shouldn't we be sharp with each other? If hell is a reality, it's a reality. Don't you want to know about it? She was upset. She said, you're going to scare a lot of people. I said, oh, okay, thank you. Thank you. You know? Well, I mean, she said, well, you just can't do that. I said, well, you read your Bible. Well, yeah, I read my Bible, she said. I said, does it mention hell anywhere in your Bible? Well, yeah, it does. I said, well, then if hell is in the Bible and you read the Bible and you read the word hell, I said, and we're a church, shouldn't we tell people that there's a hell? Well, yeah, I'll give you that. But she said, you just shouldn't have it on your sign. Well, okay. All right. So she was saying that if we really love the community that we live in, we shouldn't tell them about hell. There's nothing farther from the truth than those words. If you truly, really love somebody, you'd want them to know about hell, right? Well, God loves you. And because God loves you, He's going to tell you about hell. God wants us to know that it's a real place. And for us to understand that, God, Jesus Christ, passages of Scripture, talk about hell. And because He talks about it, we need to talk about it. I, your pastor, need to make sure that you understand there's a hell. Okay? We are an accountability group, but you need to make sure that you hold each other accountable. That there is a heaven, and because there is a heaven, there is also a hell. Jesus cried about it in Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is looking at Jerusalem. He goes, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem. He was praying for the people of Jerusalem. He didn't care about the walls of Jerusalem. He was praying for the people of Jerusalem. Oh, I love you. I love you. I care for you. Oh, don't you know that there is something worse coming down the road for you if you do not believe in me as the Messiah? And then in Romans chapter 9, just another example of God, our Heavenly Father, wanting us to understand that there is a hell. Paul spoke great words of love for his audience and readers about this element of love. And, oh, if God loves us and there's a heaven, then there must be a hell. Why would Jesus and Paul be so concerned about a city and a people? Because they know that hell is real. So if hell is real, let me say it again, we must talk about it. We must talk about it. And so let's talk about it. Scripture gives us several insights into the reality of hell. Matthew chapter 8, verse 12. It's outside of God's kingdom. What is God's kingdom? God's kingdom is a kingdom of light. God's kingdom is a kingdom of love. Those fruits of the Spirit that are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that's God's kingdom. Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 8 that anything outside of that kingdom is in darkness. And if you're not in God's presence, you are in hell. So I will say that you, yes, we think about hell after death, but I will say to you that if you are not living in God's kingdom today, your hell is here on earth. I'm going to say that again. If you are not living in God's kingdom here and now, truth of Scripture in your life, you're applying it to your life, you're in love, you're in the light of the world, there is lightness in your world, that's heaven, even here on earth. But if you're outside of that, you're living hell here on earth. And then just ask yourself about your life. Now, is life perfect even inside the kingdom? No, we know that there are tests and trials even here on earth for us that are of the kingdom of heaven. But we know that God's Spirit is with us when we are in the light that He sheds in our life. So Matthew chapter 8 tells us that anything outside of God's kingdom, that's a dark place. A dark place is hell. And it also tells us that hell is full of terrible, horrible sounds. not a good place. In his second letter to the Thessalonians, Paul adds to the reality of hell. Again, because God loves us enough, He wants us to know that hell is a real place. Paul tells us that it's a place of punishment. A place of punishment. Everlasting destruction. The absence of God. Shut out from the presence of God. And the majesty of His power. So ask yourself. I remember several years ago, quite a few years ago actually, I had a friend who liked to go to the Indianapolis 500 every year, he and a group of buddies, and they would go through Chicago. We were talking about the trip one time. He was getting ready to go. And he said, oh, let me tell you about Chicago. At that point, I don't think I'd ever been to Chicago. And he was going to tell me how bad Chicago was. And there's a freeway in Chicago called the Dan Ryan Express. If you've been to Chicago, you've probably been on it. You cut through. He said, there are parts of Chicago that are so bad. The absence and presence of God. A dark place. He said, if you have a flat tire and you're on that stretch of, I don't remember how many miles it was, 6, 7, 10 miles, doesn't make any difference. He said, if you have a flat tire, he said, just keep going. Just keep going. He said, make sure you get to the other end of Chicago and then just replace the tire, the rim, the whole nine yards. He said, that'll be cheaper than dying on the Dan Ryan Expressway because somebody's going to get you. I thought, wow, that's a nasty place. That's a nasty place. Whew. And he said, if your car breaks down, just make sure you get to the shoulder road, roll up your windows, and lock the doors. Don't leave your car. He said it might take 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours for a policeman to come by, but they'll eventually get to you. He said, just stay safe. Wow, that's hell here on earth, right? But think about it. The absence of God, even here on earth, is hell. And you don't want to go there, do you? That's just here on earth. Let's go to Minneapolis. Let's walk down some streets. Let's walk down some neighborhoods. And I bet I could take you to some places you don't want to go. Why? Because you know that God's not there. Okay? That's hell here on earth. And you're afraid of that. How much more afraid should we be of the real hell? Peter tells us that it's like a prison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19. I'll say to you that it's not what the prison that Peter is talking about isn't the prison of today. Okay? The prisons of today are very lush and comfortable compared to what Peter's talking about. He's talking about the dungeons, you know, rats and your cell, the area that was your eating place, your bathroom place. That's just where you were. And today it's confinement, but it's library, TV, three meals a day. We were watching TV a couple of weeks ago, and there was a piece on the news. I believe it was on the news. An elderly man, you've probably heard this too on the news because it happens every winter. Just talk to a policeman. Talk to somebody who works out at the law enforcement center. There are people that are homeless who want to get arrested during the winter just so they have a warm place to sleep, three meals a day. You know, they go before a judge. Judge, let me out on April 25th. It'll be warm outside. I can make it from April. That's the real world we live in. That's the real world we live in. Peter isn't talking about a prison of today. He's talking about the dungeons of yesterday. In Revelation chapter 20, the passage that we just read, the 11th through the 15th verse, if you look at the first three verses of that, it's described as a bottomless pit. Hell is a place of consciousness. As a little boy, we used to go visit my mom's parents in southern Iowa. It was about a 60-mile ride. And I have an older brother and an older sister. My youngest brother, Rod, was privileged. He got to sit between mom and dad in the front seat. Three of us sat in the back seat. And there were trips. It was hell on earth. Okay. On a good day, my dad would stop at McDonald's because he had a couple extra bucks. You know, a hamburger was 25 cents. You know, but we'd stop at McDonald's. And then we'd have to drive. And my brother and my sister would get mad at each other because my sister was eating her fries slower than my brother. His would be gone and he'd be wanting some of hers. It was just like, oh, God help us. And I remember falling asleep once. And then waking up as we pulled into the driveway of my grandma and grandpa's, and I went, ooh, that's a good trip. So we'd get in the car, and the first thing I'd want to do is try to take a nap. Oh, God, give me a 60-minute nap. Because I'll be asleep, and we'll wake up as we're pulling in the driveway. Whew, and I'll miss all of this. Life is good, right? Yeah, if that were really true, if that would happen. But Peter is telling us, Scripture is telling us, the writer John is telling us in Revelation that hell is a place of consciousness. You can't fall asleep in hell. You can't say, hey, God, I'm going to take a little nap now. Just all this torture and torment, all of the bad stuff in hell, I'm just going to go over here and take a nap for a while. And they don't have to experience it. Can you imagine? No, the Bible tells us that hell is a place of consciousness. You can never get away from it. It's always there. Back to Jesus' teachings in Matthew chapter 8. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. How many of you have been around a toddler who's teething? Okay, do you like that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days? I don't think so. Okay? You ever been around an adult that's just a little crankier than should be, right? Okay. All right. Just think about it. Have you ever been that crank to somebody? All right. Okay. Just imagine being in their world and they have to listen to you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You're negative, negative. Whoa. Hell. It's a real place. Weeping and gnashing of teeth. We have confusion in our world about language. In fact, with the guys this morning, we talked about the English language just for 30 seconds, but how crazy the English language is. And so someone will say, after a bad day, and forgive me for the phraseology that I'm going to be saying, but understand the scope of why I'm saying what I'm saying. But someone, after a bad day, will say, this has been a hell of a day. This has been hell on earth. Really? Really? They don't know the truth of Scripture. They don't know the reality of Scripture. They don't know the reality of God's hell. If they were comparing their day to really the reality of Scripture and the truth of hell, they'd say, I had a pretty good day. I had a pretty good day. So we will use that word hell in a sentence to describe something that's very bad. But then also you'll run into somebody, and I have, still happens today. Somebody will say something about it was a hell of a day, and then they're throwing that out as a positive, like it's a good thing. And you go, wait a minute, that doesn't match up. Your terminology, you need to find another adjective. You know, let's pick something else to fill in the blank with. Let's not use that word. Do something else. And so we take that word and we just throw it around in conversation and we use it loosely because we don't understand what we're saying. We don't understand the impact of what we're saying. Well, why is hell necessary? Now, there's a good question. If you watch Channel 4 News, and I believe sometimes during the evening you could send in a question. They call this little segment a good question. So you can ask them a question and they'll go find the answer for you. I thought about this. I thought maybe I'm going to submit this answer, this question to them and ask them, why do we have to have hell? I'd just like to know how a news people would answer that question. You know, how would they respond to that? Why do we have hell? Why is hell even necessary? Why does the Bible talk about it? And why do we use it in our language? Even in our language, we talk about hell, and it's a real bad day. It's a bad place. You know, you wish somebody would go to hell. I don't think you're talking about McDonald's. Do you really understand where you're telling them you want them to go? And you're supposed to love them? I don't think so. It just doesn't compute. But why? Why then, God? Okay, God, why? You're all-powerful. You're all-knowing. You're ever-present. Couldn't you have done this a different way? Why? Why do we have to talk about hell? Three things. God's love demands it. God is love. God is just. I'll put that in there with love. And the cross of Christ demands it. It's in God's plan. God's love demands it. Our love for God, His reward to us is heaven. So if you refuse Him today, you refuse Him for your life, the opposite of that reward that God gives you has to be hell. The Unitarian Church down the street on Trott Avenue, they believe anybody and everybody gets to heaven. That's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Okay? Be careful of that kind of thinking that everybody gets there. Oh, we're all going to get to heaven someday. Well, no, that's not in the Bible. The Bible talks about how do we get to heaven. And then the Bible is going to talk about the opposite of heaven, which is hell. But God's love for us demands that there has to be an opposite of heaven, and that is hell. Hell is where sinners go. Hell is where those who turn their back on God go. Heaven is only for those who love God and love people. Love God, love people. Why do we talk about it so much? Those two things are permanently married to each other. Scripture tells us you can't love God and not love people. If you believe that, you're not believing Scripture. Okay? Love God, love people. So God's love demands it. And God's love is a just love. It's perfect. It's perfectly. He is perfectly just. Therefore, His justice demands a hell. We are told in the passage of Scripture that I read, it talks about the dead are judged. We are judged perfectly. Each one of us will stand before God someday and will be accountable, not to each other, You know, what did you think of Pastor Tony? Well, he was okay, you know, but, you know, some certain areas he was just a loser, you know, he was whatever. Whatever. You know what? Your opinion of me isn't going to count. It's not. It's not. And my opinion of you isn't going to count. Jesus isn't going to come to me on your judgment day and say, now, what do you think of? His judgment is just. He's the one that's going to have you stand there, and he's going to look at you and he goes, I know everything about you. I know everything about you. I don't need to go ask anybody what they thought of you. Nobody. He's going to look at you and he knows you perfectly. And he's going to judge you justly. His justice is perfect. His justice is going to be real. And it's going to be based upon your love of him. His love for you is perfect and it's there all the time. All you need to do is accept it. Repent, confess, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And his judgment of you will be based upon his love for you, which is always there, and then your love for him, your obedience to him. The cross of Christ demands victory over death and hell. If hell is a reality, how do we stay out of hell? Well, it's the cross. It's the cross. The cross of Christ. John wrote it in his first letter to the church at Corinth, the first chapter, 17th verse. If anyone gets a free pass out of hell, it's because of Jesus Christ's death on the cross. And I will say it's not a free pass out of hell because it cost Jesus his life. If Jesus' death is worth anything, it's you getting to heaven. His life, his miracles, his teachings, his servanthood, his torture, his pain, his suffering were all for nothing. If we don't look at heaven and we don't have a hell. So Christ came, Emmanuel, God with us. Heaven here on earth. His miracles, his teachings, his servanthood, everything in Scripture that we have. Especially that torture and the pain that he suffered on the cross. Why do it if everybody goes to heaven? Why even do that? No, he did it so that we wouldn't go to hell. Believe in him. If hell isn't real, then all of this about Jesus and Christmas and Easter and all of that, that's just a movie. It's just a made-up story. It really has no meaning because we're all going to celebrate in heaven someday. What a waste. What a waste would be the life of Jesus Christ if we don't have a hell to go with an amazing place like heaven. God, our Heavenly Father, would have been playing the role of a fool by sending his Son to go through that if you're going to get there, if you're going to get to heaven anyway. No accountability, no direction, no Ten Commandments. Do what you want, when you want, where you want, how often you want. And what is that? I said the word earlier, anarchy, right? Anarchy. That's what it would be like without any justice, without any God's love here on earth. But we know that God is a God of order. And therefore there is a heaven. And therefore there is a hell. And the way out of hell isn't just some mystery. Okay? It's not, because it's told to us in Scripture. We read John 3:16. God so loved the world, what? That whosoever will not perish in hell, but have everlasting life with him. God desires that all of us will believe in him. He is very long-suffering. He'll wait for you, he'll wait for you, he'll wait for you. And he's waiting for you to choose heaven over hell. Don't choose Christ. Don't choose anything with God. Don't believe in the Bible if you don't want to. It's your choice. But you need to understand, and I'm here to tell you, that if you don't make that choice for Christ, your place is hell. And it's a real place. It's a real place. And Jesus came, died on the cross, so that you and I would have the choice of heaven over hell. C.S. Lewis said, "Those who do not wish to be with God must be allowed to be separated from Him. Hell is their eternal separation from God." That's C.S. Lewis paraphrasing the truth of Scripture. Those who do not wish to be with God must be allowed to be separated from Him. Hell is this eternal separation from God. If you don't love God here, you think it's just a waste of time, it's just a farce, and then you die, and you end up in heaven, are you going to be happy, or are you going to be like, what am I doing here? Think about it. It's pretty amazing, but how simple it is. It's a heaven, and there's a hell. Hell is a real place. It is total separation from the love of God. It is total separation about all the blessings of God. It is total separation from love from anyone. Without believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's your destiny. God's love for you is perfect. It is so perfect that He will not force Himself upon you. Just think about that. Meditate on that for just 2 seconds. God's love for you is so perfect that He will not force Himself to spend eternity with Him. That's an amazing God. That's absolutely amazing God. I don't want any of you to go to hell. I don't want any of you to go to hell. So I'm going to tell you that there is a hell. And I want you also to know that there's a heaven. Next week we'll talk about heaven. But you need to know that there is a hell. Several weeks ago, the sermon that morning was on the seven aspects of the vision statement that God has for His church, which would be us. Do you remember what was number one on that list? Do you remember what number one? Some of you, I copied them and put them in your mailbox out there. Do you remember what number one was? Number one is that we must have a passion. We must have a desire that no one goes to hell. That's God's love. That's God's passion. That occupies all of what and who God is for us and to us. Again, He wants to keep us out of hell so much that He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross. Do we care that much about each other? Do you care that much about anybody that you would dare to tell them about the reality of hell? We must have the passion and the desire to tell people about the reality of hell. And that will say a whole lot about our love and our care for them. That I love you enough, that you love your family members enough, you love your neighbors enough, and I'm speaking this to myself, I'm not shaking a finger at you, I'm shaking a finger at myself when I say this. We must tell people that hell is a reality. Hell is a real thing. And the world knows that. They're all afraid of it. If hell wasn't a real thing, it would be a joke. It would be just, whatever. They wouldn't use it in conversation the way they use the word hell. We know it's real. Do you know it's real? Don't go to hell. Okay? God has made it all plain and perfect for you. You don't need to go there. He doesn't want you to go there. He wants you to go to heaven. Do you want to go to heaven?
Yeah.
Confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Repent, believe in the truth of Scripture, and walk the walk. Be involved in a Bible study. Be faithful in attendance to church. Have godly conversation when you get together with anybody. Let God be a part of the conversation. Father, you've spoken to us today about the reality of hell. If it wasn't a real place, you wouldn't care. It wouldn't be a part of Scripture. The Bible would just be rosy. It'd be just easy stuff. But no, you want us to know that hell is real, and I believe that you have challenged me, you've challenged each of us with the truth that we must share that piece of the story. Oh yes, there's heaven. There's also hell. And where are you going? The Bible plainly teaches that we will know. We know where we're going. I'm going to heaven. And I want all of these, your children, your people, to have a celebration in heaven together someday. Someday. Let it be in us. Let us share the good news of Jesus' love, absolutely. But let us not forget to share the reality of hell. It's real. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning that is living in darkness, living in hell, anything outside of the kingdom of God, anything outside the fellowship with you is hell. And there are many people living it today. Many people living it today. Father, if there's anyone like that here today, let them confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Let us share that with each other today. And in doing so, we will be obedient to Scripture. We will be sharing the love that you have for us with others. When we tell them the good news, yes, but there's also love in telling of the bad news, that hell is real. Father, let us go. Let us be your children. Let us be a blessing to someone today. To smile at someone. To say hi to someone. Take a stranger. Open a door for someone. Let us do one of those good deeds that you've prepared in advance for us to do. Let it be seen and heard in us today. For we are your children. And we are obedient to your word. In Christ's name we pray today. Amen. Hell is real. If you're living in hell on here on earth, talk to somebody. Talk to me. Love to share the love of Christ with you, the truth of Scripture. Go and be a blessing to someone today.